Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Hello, America, and happy Thursday. Well, we've got the show of shows for you. We're not going to let you down. We've got some great guests. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages. Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor-selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace, and they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. All right, folks. Welcome back for the commercial break. Last night, you probably saw the news alert on Just the News. We're a little bit after dinner time. The stock exchange pulled a natural assets company's proposal that the Securities and Exchange Commission had been floating. This idea would have radically altered the way energy exploration and other things occurred in America, including the public purchase of lands and other things. We've been chronicling this for the last several months. It's an arcane thing that could have had profound impact across the country. Part of the reason that this proposal got pulled was the great work of Utah's state treasurer, Marlo Oakes. And we're lucky to be joined by him right now. Mr. Treasurer, great to have you on the show.
Thanks, John. Good to be here.
This is a fascinating story. And you know, a lot of times these things sound like alphabet soup gobbledygook, but this SEC regulatory effort could have had a profound effect. Tell the folks a little bit about what SEC was trying to create here.
Yeah, this is, it's really troubling. Essentially, the New York Stock Exchange had to get a rule change to their manual that would allow them to list a company whose purpose isn't economic activity. It's actually to manage, essentially, Mother Nature, what they call ecological services. And because those ecological services are not based in traditional economic activity, they have to use different accounting standards, not the traditional GAAP accounting standards that we have in the United States. And so it's really assigning an arbitrary value to things like photosynthesis. And it was really, the attempt is to create an entirely new asset class to financialize basically Mother Nature and to apply value there and to monetize it, which is, if you think about it, that's pretty scary because all of us are dependent on what I would say public good, you know, public good like clean air, you know, things like that. And so when you financialize that, suddenly there's ownership associated with that, and then you can charge people for your ownership stake if they use the commodity that you now have ownership of. I mean, this opens a door that nobody had ever thought would be possible. And so that's one, just one of the scary aspects of this.
And this is another one. It's I got this big case pending before the Supreme Court, potentially reversing the Chevron doctrine. But this just seems to be another area where regulators tried to create law where Congress doesn't seem to have created it, right? Was this another case where the regulators were trying to do something that wasn't imagined by Congress when they set up the rules?
Well, absolutely. Because you know, the Bureau of Land Management. So in the West, you know, federal lands, there's a lot of federal lands and they manage those lands. And it's under an act of Congress where Congress delegated the management of those lands to the BLM. And so this rule would have potentially opened up those lands to management by outside entities or publicly traded entities, private entities that could take money from investors around the world, so China or Saudi Arabia or, you know, Russia, whomever, including investors in the United States. But this would essentially put the management of both public and private lands in the hands of private actors. And so, you know, clearly bypassing Congress that originally passed a law to allow the Bureau of Land Management and other agencies to manage land on its behalf.
Pretty remarkable. Some people that we talk to say, listen, this could have created a whole new oligarchy in America. We know that some of our wealthiest Americans are already investing in things like buying up water rights and things like that. But this really would have been a shift of power that would create a less responsive system to the American people. Do you think that the stock exchange, SEC, are going to try to come back at this? Or do you think we got this one knocked out for good?
Well, I think the bigger agenda is still in play here. And so I don't think the New York Stock Exchange is necessarily going to try and come at this again. But I'm guessing that it will appear some other way. It may be through the private markets, you know, private equity or similar kinds of vehicles that are not, you know, regulated as heavily by the SEC, and you know, they're not trying to attract public money, or at least, you know, traditional investor money that you do in the public markets. But it could come through the private markets, and that's still where a lot of the biggest pools of capital reside, these sovereign wealth funds, right? And so I think that's where we need to be on the lookout, and any other way that this comes about.
Yeah. There is been some great reporting done on this and some great op-ed works have done. And there's a great story in the op-ed in the New York Washington Times a couple of months ago. But a lot of this grew out of a movement from the World Economic Forum, which obviously a place where a lot of globalists are sort of creating a global singular government sort of has driven the concepts of that are there, WEF. This kind of idea of valuing natural capital and creating a new sort of infrastructure rule-wise for it, with the World Economic Forum says that's important for the future of investment. Again, it's another example of perhaps tearing down some of the ability of a nation to regulate its own assets and yield it to, like you said, a sovereign wealth fund. The World Economic Forum seems to has such a really influential role in creating up these sort of new regulatory regimes. What do you think the long-term goals? The op-ed I read was so brilliantly written. I think it was written by a guy named Justin Bees, and said that, you know, basically this is an effort to monetize the air we breathe and the water we drink. And that's, you know, that's pretty shocking when you hear it, but it doesn't seem far from the truth. It seems like that's what was going on here.
Yeah, no, and there's an effort to put 30% of the country's lands and waters in to preserve that amount by 2030. And this essentially is an effort to reduce human impact. But, you know, what's interesting is the UN has talked about what the real agenda is with climate change, certainly, and that is to replace capitalism. I mean, one of the headlines coming out of 2018, a study that they commissioned said we cannot fight climate change with capitalism. And so that's why these kinds of efforts are showing up on the radar of state treasurers.
Really remarkable. It really is. And it's the state treasurers like yourself that really took the lead in getting the American people educated about this, creating the counter pressure that ultimately resulted in the withdrawal of this. And that, I think, goes to a broader dynamic that I've watched. I've covered, I've been in journalism 35 years, and I've seen a lot of different things, but the state treasurers are more impactful today than ever before, particularly with the social credit score schemes and the ESG things that are coming down the road. The power to control where your money is invested, a state's, you know, investment, can have a profound effect of beating back some of these ideas that are un-American. Treasurers really on the front lines of fighting some ideologies that threaten capitalism and our constitutional republic. Did you ever imagine that that would be the mission of being the state treasurer of Utah?
No, in fact, I had no idea what had happened with ESG. You know, I spent a good part of my career in the investment industry and had heard a little bit about ESG, but didn't really pay a ton of attention to it. But frankly, I was more knowledgeable of socially responsible investing, and, you know, really socially responsible investing morphed into ESG. And that's because you really can't drive an agenda with socially responsible investing. You, as an investor, you know, have your own values and you respect other people in the market to have their values, and they can invest their portfolio how they want. ESG is exactly the opposite, where they come, there's an agenda there, whether it's climate change or social justice, and it's trying to capture as much capital on that agenda and push the agenda through the capital market. So it's completely opposite of our free market system. And that's why it falls squarely in the realm of state treasurers.
Yeah. When you said something profound when you mentioned the UN, and I hear this a lot now from people that just, you know, are really in the know, and that a lot of them aren't even partisan in nature, but there is an effort across the globe to undo capitalism and replace it with something. What would you call this emerging thing? Is it a form of socialism? Is it a form of democratic socialism? Is it communism? There seems to be an effort to supplant the American free enterprise system with something different. What does that different thing look like? When you look at it, what would you call what they're trying to build right now?
Well, it is an interesting thing, because they don't say what exactly they're trying to build, but you can see by the actions in the marketplace what it's turning into. And you have banks working with the federal government. In fact, they say, you know, we have to work with the government. This is the private industry saying we have to work with the government to address climate change. Well, Benito Mussolini said fascism is more appropriately called corporatism because it's the merger of state and corporate power. And that's what we're seeing. It's a form of fascism, corporatism. You know, it's like China that puts a member of the CCP on every board. That is exactly what we're seeing here in the United States, and people should be incredibly concerned.
Yeah, I think your description of that is exactly what's going on. There's this sort of this government to industry partnership. We saw it in the censorship cases where private industry and government were hand in hand, and we're seeing it in the ESG environment and certainly the investment environment. The one thing that is so powerful is the power of the purse. It's remarkable. All these years later, in the brilliant check and balance system that our founding fathers gave this country, the power of the purse still has an enormous ability to protect the American people. And you leverage that as a treasurer, you and your colleagues who are good stewards of the public trust in the public investment. You've been able to have a real impact just saying, hey, if you act like un-American, we're just not going to invest in you. Is that beginning to wake up some of these companies that maybe thought, oh, we'll put our personal ideology ahead of our customers? And then someone with your, you know, size investment comes and say, oh, you're going to lose our business. You do that. It does have a real effect, doesn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And people, I think, don't understand, including businesses, don't understand how our economic system operates. You know, it's based on the consumer and meeting the demand of consumers. It puts us as the sort of this at the middle of the market, you know, the kind of the key part of the market. I talk about the analogy to the legal system, where legal decisions are supposed to be based on the law and the law alone. That's why you have Lady Justice with the blindfold. And as soon as Lady Justice takes off the blindfold, you introduce things like empathy and who is the oppressed and who are the oppressors, and you corrupt the legal system. On the economic side, in our economic system, our decisions based in business are supposed to be based on economics and economics alone. And as soon as you introduce another element, you corrupt the economic system, and suddenly you're deciding who to do business with, and are they acting the way you think they should act, and you can see it playing out in the marketplace, and it will absolutely replace our economic system with something none of us wants.
Yeah, you have given some great speeches on this over the last few years, and a couple things that really resonated with our audiences when out there. You talk about the fair markets being replaced by manipulated markets, and liberty being replaced by controlled behavior. And I think that the moment we're in, and a lot of Americans, we're just trying to make ends meet, right? So we're not thinking about these tectonic shifts in place, but there is a real change that you have been on the forefront of fighting, and it's beginning now. I think every American wake up saying, hey, when did the government think it was its job to tell me what stove I can have, or what my kids are going to learn?
What kind of car?
Right, or what kind of car, or what surgery? And, oh, well, that car just froze up on me in the cold thing. I don't want that car. It is a remarkable moment, but at its ultimate goal, the idea of equality seems to have been flipped on its head, which is we're all supposed to have an equal opportunity. But this new world that these progressives who have injected themselves in the corporate world is, they're trying to control the outcomes, right? They want equal outcomes, not just equal opportunity. Is that sort of the end game here?
I think it's part of it. And you see this dual definitions, right? Equality, well, we think of it as equal opportunity, but equal outcomes is the second, you know, definition. And the same thing with diversity, same thing with, you know, even governance and ESG, it has two different meanings. And so people just have to be aware of this. And I think more and more people are waking up, more and more consumers are saying, hey, I'm not going to do business with companies that are politicizing their business. And that is critical that we as consumers continue to send that message, because that's what will ultimately, hopefully, bring us back to our free market system.
Yeah. I think it was last year, maybe it was a year before that, because it goes by so fast. You pulled about $100 million of investment from BlackRock. BlackRock seems to have gotten a little bit of the message. They've certainly pulled back a little bit on ESG. Do you think that the multiple state treasurers who pulled that money really woke up BlackRock, or do you think this is a temporary pullback and they're going to try to take another crack at it?
Well, I do think it was a critical step, because to that point, nobody had really pushed back on ESG. And it was my belief that it would have to come from the states, because the private sector has been silenced, cowered into acceptance. And so the only way start pushing the tide back was for states to stand up. And I think that's going to be true across the board with a lot of this overreach that we're seeing. whether it's in the private sector or the public sector. But because the agenda is so big that they're literally trying to change our economic system, I think it's simply morphing into other language like sustainability. So S&P Global just came out with their sustainability indexes earlier this week, I believe. It's going to be different words, and they're going to sound really nice, and a lot of people are going to latch onto them, but people just have got to recognize that this is an attempt to change our economic system, and it will ultimately lead to our end of our economic freedoms.
ESG clearly had a toll on BlackRock. I've seen reports in last week that they're going to lay off about 3% of their staff. So the market actually caused a consequence to a firm that tried to go beyond investments into ideology. And it is really fascinating to watch that. And I think that it's exactly how our founding fathers intended it, which is if things got awry in Washington, it would be the states that would use their state's rights to do this. And your state has been at the forefront, you particularly, at the forefront of using those state rights to sort of create this self-correction. There's one last question. Obviously, all of these things that regulators do seem to draw a lot of inspiration from a half-century-old Supreme Court ruling called the Chevron Doctrine. And obviously, yesterday, the Supreme Court weighed in a big hearing that will ultimately result in a big ruling. But the Chevron Doctrine, the idea that regulators can create law when in the absence of Congress acting, this is a great moment. This could be one of the big Supreme Court rulings of our generation, right?
Yes, and oh boy, I hope they get this right, because we are seeing this overreach and kind of rulemaking, acting as kind of the legislature de facto way, using rules to drive agendas. It's been incredibly damaging, and especially with this administration that's used a whole of government approach, we're just, all of us are feeling and seeing the impact of this, and so hopefully the Supreme Court can bring back some sanity to this whole process.
Yeah, a lot of people watching that case, it could be one of the most historic rulings of our lifetime. Mr. Treasurer, what a great honor to have you on. We've watched your work. Yesterday, I was thinking of you when this announcement came down. And of course, you were on the front lines of, I think, having a really consequential role in this. Great to have you on. We'll be sure to check in with you soon. You're doing a lot of great work.
Thanks, John. It's good to be with you.
You as well, sir. Thanks for your time today. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
All right, folks, welcome back for the commercial break. I want to pick up on the discussion where we left off with the Utah State Treasurer, another example of states' rights coming in and exercising what the founding fathers intended. Big government got too big. States could tug it back under the concept of states' rights. Our next guest, well, he knows a lot about that legal theory and the great constitution we live in. He served as an appellate clerk. He served in the Congress as one of its most championed investigators, and he served as an assistant secretary of state. He's our good friend because it is AMAC Thursday. Today, we're going to have him in. Bobby Charles. Bobby, welcome back to the show.
John, I love to be on your show. Just love it.
We love having you on. We learned so much. And I was thinking about all the conversations we've had over the last several months and this struggle between a monstrous Washington government that wants to swallow liberty and freedom and free markets and a lot of courageous states saying, not so fast. And the courts often, almost always, siding on the side of liberty, on the side of states' rights. It's playing out right now in the great Lone Star State. I know a state that values its freedom, great, and its history of freedom. But whether it's the border crossing conflict with the federal government, where they've taken over one of their border crossings and kept the government out, federal government out, or the challenging the federal government to stop cutting our border fences, the concertina wire, or many of the lawsuits that they've sued, Texas seems to be ground zero for this incredible clash between freedom and states' rights and big government, and I guess some people would say socialism. How important is Texas' fight to the whole country right now?
Well, I think it's not only important, John, in practical terms. I think it's also important in educational terms. I mean, how wise were these founding fathers that they realized that vertically you keep a tension, and it's never been settled. You keep a tension between a unified group of states, colonies that became states that have one federal government for purposes that only a federal government can exist for, such as national defense. And ironically, and then you leave the rest of the powers to the states. And it's not just an interpretation. The 10th Amendment, which the left has tried to gut for years, basically says that anything that you have not seen explicitly written in the Constitution is a power that belongs to the states and to the people. And so Texas is teaching us once again the great power of you. We talk about 50 laboratories, and this has been a discussion point for Supreme Court for more than 150 years, that the states have different ways of looking at solving problems and, frankly, recognizing often the problem before the federal government does. Ironically, here, the problem is the federal government. And so the states are saying, you know, you can take a lot of things away from us, but you're not going to take our sovereignty away from us as a state or as a people. And that educational message, incredibly, is not only moving out to other red states, it's moving out to blue states. It's moving out to blue cities. You have New York City and New York State and a lot of other states saying, you know what, I don't want the federal government foisting on me billions of dollars of added obligation to people that come from Africa and Guatemala and the Middle East and the Far East. I don't want that. That's not part of the plan where the Constitution allows the states to have a degree of sovereignty unto themselves. We have to protect ourselves. And you know, if you go a step beyond just the border, John, the federal government, by their mismal and nonfeasance, by their negligence, and I would say even recklessness and at points intent here, are allowing drug traffickers in that even in places where I live, like Maine, drugs have just penetrated. I mean, fentanyl is everywhere. And so what they've done is they've created calamity and chaos, and I would even go so far as to say intentionally in some cases, perhaps to get voter rolls up, but I think that's going to backfire on them too, because nobody likes to live in chaos. At the end of the day, the states, and Texas in particular, is showing us that you can stand up, you do have rights, you should stand up, you should defend your rights, and you should do it in a way that educates the rest of the country that they have rights to defend too. Last point, there is nothing in the Constitution that says that we should be thought of as groups, or that there's some kind of a non-individual, non-state right that trumps the individual and the state's rights. There's a Commerce Clause and there's a Supremacy Clause just for the purposes of really our national defense. But when the federal government lets us down on national defense, as they have on the border, the states have every right and, in fact, I think have a moral obligation to step up and defend the people.
That's such a great point. So very important. It really is. That same battle is at the heart of what the presidential race is going to be about, the differences between the Republican candidates, particularly Donald Trump, who looks like he's on his way to sewing up the nomination a third time. And the Biden Democrats are just literally different on every point. There's not there isn't a place where you can find common ground. The contrasts are so remarkable. It seems to me that despite all the media cheerleading, despite all the Democratic dirty tricks to get Democrats to cross over and vote in the Iowa caucuses, a clear and convincing message was sent to the world about what Republican voters want their nominee to be and who they want it to be. Your analysis of Iowa and, of course, what lies ahead just a few days from now in New Hampshire. I'm sure you have a pretty good sense of where this race is going.
Well, New Hampshire is right next door to me, and I went to college in New Hampshire, so I know that pretty well. And I talk to folks in Iowa all the time. Look, I think that this whole thing will be done in a matter of a couple of weeks. There is no presidential candidate who has arrived at December of the preceding year with more than 40% of the of their party's support and not won the nomination. And Trump had 61% of his party's support, and it has just continued to climb in the months since then. So I think this entire campaign, even though we think of it as about Trump, I think one of the important things for Democrats to think about and for independents to think about is that this is not a cult of the personality. It is a realization. This entire campaign is about three things. It's about competence, freedom, and fairness. And I say that really off the top of my head, but competence, because there isn't a single area, defense, Homeland Security, State Department, FBI, justice, where we're seeing genuine competence. Instead, we're seeing fumbling and we're seeing an abuse and politicization of what is supposed to be nonpartisan implementation of policy and administration of law. So the first thing that people want, I think, is fairness in this process and competence. I mean, I say competence first, but fairness is about, you know, there's nothing that irritates an American more, any American, I would say, than watching something unfairly done, watching someone mistreated. And they have so mistreated Donald Trump that he's become a sympathetic character. I think you're going to see a dramatic shift similar to 1980 when you had a realignment of big chunks of the Democratic Party, the blue-collar Democrat, who came around and said, you know, I'm going to support Reagan. I understand Jimmy Carter's the one you want us to support, but he has failed me on the economy. He's failed me in security. And frankly, I think that, you know, they used to pile on with Reagan. They said, if he gets elected, it'll be Armageddon and the world will come to an end. You know, no, he did, you know, and so I think fairness is a really big point too. And last, freedom. I mean, all of these things, it's a zero sum game. When the federal government takes away a right, the right for you to have a stove that's powered by gas or a car that's powered by gas, and insist that if you're up here, for example, in the Maine woods and there's no place to get electricity, you're going to somehow miraculously drive your dead electric car in the middle of a blizzard. No, you're not going to do that. It's so, and particularly where we recently, for example, half the state lost electricity. So I think at the end of the day, these three things, competence, fairness, and freedom, and where does that lead? I think Trump walks away with New Hampshire, and I think from that point, it's over. I think that others, Republicans, and even some Democrats, I think, are going to say, unless they want to stand with an unindicted criminal, you know, in Biden, I think they're going to say, you know, at the very least, he's not such a bad choice. And I think you're even going to see some of the mainstream media begin to backpedal and say, you know, net-net, they don't like him, and they're never going to like him, and they don't like the fact that he'll be victorious. But I think they also realize that he's the best choice for the country right now, and I think that's where things are going to go.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. The parallels to 1980 are really remarkable, and obviously the question of 80 was, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? That's the question right now. But the dynamics in the parties are the same. A lot of uncertainty and agitation and challenges coming from the left, and the Republicans surprisingly sewing it up maybe easier and earlier than people would have thought at the end of 76. So the parallels are really remarkable. It's going to be interesting to see where we are. I want to turn to the world stage. We just got a couple minutes left, but you are so astute in your assessment of what's going on. The proxy war that you called months ago that we were going to be in, we were in it. Iran everywhere is acting up. The Red Sea, Pakistan, Iraq. The Biden administration sort of significantly belated suddenly begins some counterattacks, but they seem like they're really dust-ups rather than painful attacks. This is a moment where it would seem the United States has the moral authority to really crush the Iranian proxies and send a message. Does this administration have the will to do that?
Well, that's a seminal question, John. I mean, the escalation that you and I have talked about now for months is incontrovertibly happening. And it's happening in Iraq and Syria and Pakistan, in the Red Sea and the Persian Gulf, in sort of radiating circles, highest intensity to the interior and then radiating outward. And of course, countries like China are watching this very closely. This is, speak of educational opportunities, to sort of tie it back to Texas and how Texas is educating the rest of America. We have an opportunity right now in the Middle East to educate the rest of the world and to say, look, you do not allow evil to step up unchallenged. And more to the point, you use every arrow in your quiver to put down an advance by evil. I mean, it's literally almost like a battle space in World War II. You have the Houthis in Yemen, you know, to the south and around now in the Indian Ocean. You've even had some assaults, as well as now the exchange between Pakistan and Iran. Iran is the living, radiating sort of hot coal of evil in the world today. And even if we think China has malicious communist intent, and we see Russia doing what they're doing in Ukraine, but Iran is literally on a mission to destabilize the world and is arguably weeks, at most a couple of months, away from being able to create a nuclear device. They don't have a delivery system that they have married to a potential device, but they do have delivery systems, including ballistic missiles, and they will be working on that. It takes time to do that, but they could also deliver it over our southern border in the hand of a bad guy. So I think Iran is the radiating sort of source of much of the chaos and instability and insecurity that we're seeing, certainly not just in the Middle East and in southern Europe and in parts of Central Asia and in the Indian Ocean, but and frankly in other locations. But they're raising the cost of living for everybody. I mean, they're raising the cost by virtue of having to secure things, and they're also raising the cost by creating chaos in places like international trade lanes, where people expect that normal everyday civilian commerce will occur. So how should they be responding, and will they respond? How they should be responding is to build an international coalition that is vocal and is suppressive and is ready to put the Trump-like sanctions right back on Iran, and they should start shutting down in a kinetic and cyber way all of the activity that Iran is involved in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iraq, on the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, in North Africa, in the Indian Ocean. They should start shutting all that down decisively without any apology. And that also means more kinetic strikes. I would put another carrier battle group over there immediately. And you deter world wars by, and we have deterred a number of them. We've had to fight two of them, but we've deterred a lot of them. And you deter them by being resolute and unapologetic about defending freedom and innocent life all over the world. And that's what we, the United States of America, have historically stood for.
It's amazing that peace only comes from strength. There's never been time where peace has come to capitulation. It's a lesson that Democrats keep failing to learn. I mean, they might pick it up for a few years and they go right back to their capitulation playbook, and the world gets unstable.
You know, you do not turn the great fallacy, and I went to school with Tony Blinken, and I think he's a smart, good-hearted guy. He's also made a lot of tremendous mistakes, actually potentially irreversible mistakes. And why is that? Because a lot of those that identify themselves as Democrat or on the left, they have this idea that the world is not a mean and nasty place, that somehow in the heart of every human being, we can get to that kumbaya moment where they say, you're right, I'll be a good person. No, you will not find ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Hezbollah or Hamas or the Houthi rebels or the Iranian leadership and all of their you will not find them ever saying that. Their attitude is, we are here to dominate by force, and we will use symmetric, asymmetric, high-tech, low-tech, anything we can to destroy the values of the Western world led by the United States. And so what does that mean? It means when you're challenged, you know, whether you're George Washington or you're Theodore Roosevelt or you're Abraham Lincoln or you're Braveheart, when you're challenged by evil, as Edmund Burke taught us again and again in very thick and long books, you need to step up, step out, and stop this onset and this advance of evil. Because as Burke said, all it takes for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing.
Yeah, that's right. Inaction is complicity. There's no doubt about it. And that's one of the challenges this administration has. Every time it stays silent or doesn't respond, it's actually being complicit. It's in the destabilization of the world. We've had every national security expert, yourself included, make that very cogent point. Bobby, just real quickly before we go, we have this great partnership with AMAC. I'm so excited about this coming Sunday's event. We did a whole TV special. We did a podcast on it last week. There is an incredible boot camp for boomers down in Florida. I hope that becomes a national movement, because I think it's a brilliant idea to get people involved. But for anyone who wants to join AMAC and get Bobby's brilliance every day, along with all the other great folks that write and work and analyze the podcast, the magazine, Rebecca Weber, all of the great folks here, go to amac.us, amac.us/justnews, and go match me. I took a 5-year membership, best investment I ever made. You should do the same. It pays for itself with the discounts you're going to get. You're going to get access to services and benefits that you never get anywhere else. You're going to counter the AARP's liberal influence in the world. And you get to be involved civically with the great AMAC action. You can be an election observer. You can go to this boot camp and get trained up. What a great opportunity to support your country and be an incredible patriot. AMAC.us/justnews. Real quickly before we go, got 30 seconds. Florida at the Villages this weekend. I think, going to be a monumental event, something that I think will become a regular tradition. Tell us real shortly about what Boot Camp for Boomers is all about.
Yeah, look, I think joining AMAC is the operational definition of saying the pledges of allegiance every day. I think you not only get all those economic benefits, but you literally get to put your money where your mouth is, and you get to get out there and make a difference. No organization in the country makes a bigger difference on a daily basis trying to preserve, protect, defend the Bill of Rights, and frankly, at the state legislative level and everywhere else. This boot camp for boomers, ultimately, John, is Riley Gaines will be there, a whole bunch of other people. You know, it'll be close and personal, and people get to really interact. But it's also about teaching people what civic duty is all about, the way that some other big institutions in this country that are conservative have done, and the way Ronald Reagan often recommended that we all do for each other. Get out there, be part of the solution, because by sitting on the sidelines, you frankly are complicit and you're part of the problem. So don't do that. Get yourself up, get out. And whether you do play a little role or a big role, it costs you $1.25 a month to be a part of AMAC. And what you get out of that, the magazine, the articles, the incredible civic engagement at the state level, it's like a big family too, John, because there are just millions of members, and they are all about, in a very straightforward, honest, common sense way, protecting and preserving the values that our parents and grandparents taught us and that we know are vital to the future.
I couldn't agree more with you. And I've said this many times, you're not buying a service, you're not joining an organization, you're joining a community. It is an incredible experience. And Bobby, I'll just say this, I know AMAC knows this already, but they are so darn lucky to have you as their national spokesman. And we're darn lucky to have you on the show every week, because we get wisdom and we get that inspiration to get back in the fight. Sometimes it's easy to get demoralized by the day's events, but every time we talk to you, the spunk meter goes up. We're ready to get back in the fight. We're ready to go be spunky again. Let's do it.
I appreciate it, John. And I'll just give you my last 5 seconds is, they interviewed Grant at one point and said, why did you, when forces were so equal at times in the Civil War, why did you prevail again and again? And at Vicksburg, for example. And he said, there are always times in the fight, whatever the fight is, when you think you are going to lose. And in those moments, if you can rally and continue with persistence and conviction and courage to go out to the battlefield, you will win. And we will win.
That's exactly it. It is. It's such an amazing thing to see. And sitting on the sidelines is the only way you can't win. You can't win a football game if you're on the bench.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, John.
Bobby, great to have you on. Thanks, my friend. Folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back to wrap things up in just a few minutes.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole?
Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hard to believe, but that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. I'm really grateful that each of you could join today. Now, one reminder, a lot of people say, hey, John, do you have an app at the Just the News? And the answer is we sure do. And not only do we have an app, it's in the Apple Store. It's also in the Android Store. It allows you to take the Just the News experience and go in three different ways. You can watch our videos and television shows. You can listen to this podcast and many others like it, like Victor Davis Hanson, or you can read the stories that we do a day, 50, 60, 70 stories a day of the breaking news, investigative reporting, accountability reporting. Go to the iOS App Store or the Android Store today. Download the Just the News app. Read, watch, listen. Three great ways to experience the Just the News content and to join the Just the News family. And if you really want to get involved with the family and say, hey, I want to support your investigative reporting, John Solomon. I want to support the great reporters and the producers and the bookers and everybody that works to make the Just the News experience possible. You can do something really inexpensive that makes a big difference. All you got to do is join the Just the News VIP club. That's right. What do you get for the VIP club? First off, ad-free experience on the website and on your newsletters. No ads, no dancing videos, no autoplay videos. An ad-free experience on Just the News 24/7. Plus, once a month, you get to hang out with me at justthenews.com. We have a town hall. I sit and answer your questions for an hour. We talk about issues you care about. We cover topics that the other media aren't covering. It's an incredible experience to join the family, the immediate family of the Just the News team. Great opportunity. Sometimes we bring in our reporters. It's always a delightful time. If you want to get involved in that, go to justthenews.com/subscribe. justthenews.com/subscribe. Quick way to get into the club. It's $4.99 a month, $44.99 a year. Great way to support our journalism, make a difference, and get an enormous benefit yourself. So go check it out today. All right, folks, that wraps up John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. God bless you. God bless you. Have a great night. God bless this great country of the United States. Be sure to go to justthenews.com if you need that news fix. We got you covered 24/7. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653, gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.